Good evening, primetime parties. It's primetime party time. Welcome back, friends of the show. If you're a first timer, we are a live digital radio show and podcast covering all things primetime, past and present. That means you'll get the lowdown on media, entertainment, and soon to be skits and virtual performances every Monday at 9 p.m. at ptptshow.com. And on your own time, wherever you stream podcasts, I'm Tracy, and this is...
Daniel, how are you doing this week, Tracy?
Good, good. Got a nice extra long weekend, courtesy of MLK Day. So, yeah, I think, like, I don't know about you, but I definitely have, like, a slowdown period in the beginning of the year where I feel like I'm just, like... not as, I don't want to say not as productive because I still am, but I kind of take a break from brainstorming a lot of stuff. Okay. And then I feel like it then starts to pick up the second half of the month. I don't know just why, but
Ready to let the holidays go, maybe.
Not quite ready to get into the swing of things. Procrastinating, fully accepting reality a little bit. And also, I think I follow a few blogger and like creatives type people like we're like saying the same thing of like I take a pause month in January, and I don't know if maybe just like osmosis of Instagram fell in and it was like I too will take a creative break in January. I say this while doing
right.
So how on par am I with that? Not sure. But yeah, I think it's been a pretty good week. How about yourself?
It has been a good week. You know, computer's running a little hot, so a little freaked out, but otherwise really, you know, got nothing to complain about this end right now.
Now we will ride the technical tide and whatever happens, we'll make it work. But yeah, this we are also going to introduce a new segment of Beer of the Week, where we try either a local or, in this case, just more of a rare find. Not too rare.
What is this? I had three BevMo employees across two stores help me out with this today. What do you got?
So this is the Hitachino Yuzu Lager. It's a light beer similar to... I know like lager means the hops like sink and IPA is like they're towards the top. So that it's more of like a Hefeweizen, if you're familiar with beer terms, like a lightish beer or like a Sapporo. It's like a similar feel, but it has the citrus notes in there.
Smelling citrus. Ooh,
and,
oh yeah.
And you cannot see this because we don't video this podcast, but Daniel has like a really nice aesthetic, like it's a Latitude 33.
I poured mine into a Latitude 33 mug that I won off a trivia night. I'm just flexing right now, but I'm really proud of this thing. So drinking out of that tonight.
That is fantastic. Yeah. And a notable thing about this brewery, and some people might have had this beer without knowing it. I had it for the first time in Detroit at a Japanese restaurant and have been drinking it ever since, and I found places when I went to Japan last year, like right before COVID fell down, I drank it there as well, draft, which was lovely because you know, only be getting cans on this side of the ocean. But you'll see that it has this very notable like red owl in the center, so all of the Kyuchi beers have, that's like their logo. It's honestly really cute. I've googled many times looking for merch, and they do not have merch, and I'm like, find this like third party like Amazon merch from like, I feel like the name, I always read it because I look for like, is this official, and it's like adamsshirts.com, and I'm like, no, I could legally you know, print an iron-on a shirt, but I would not be ballsy enough to sell it.
Good on you.
It's like everyone could do that, but like I want to support the actual brewery. So yeah, if anyone in the chat, let me know if you actually know where to find merch from here. But
or what your beverage is tonight.
Also what you drinking tonight, because yeah, we wanted to kind of like start showcasing a lot of local places. This is more of a out there. You can find it at BevMo. You could get it probably at some other like specialty beer stores. But
yeah, I saw it for I saw it available at a Total Wine and More.
There you go. Places that have like a large selection will have this. So it's not impossible to find, but it also like won't be at Trader Joe's or like Fawn's. So
it's true.
It's out there, but it's very nice. It is a lot more like, you know, some beers, they'll say it's this flavor and you only get like a teensy taste of this. This is like you really do taste the yuzu. So I like that because I got another yuzu beer recently and it was not the same. And I was like, it's very subtle. I like it strong.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this is very flavorful. Plentiful use of Japanese yuzu gives this beer a delicate yet deep citrus flavor. Enjoy the refreshing acidity from yuzu and the crispness of a lager.
I want you to say that, but in the Moira Rose way, which you still haven't watched Schitt's Creek, but she does these like wine commercials and she's like a huge diva about it. But it's like, plentiful use of Japanese yuzu gives this beer a delicate yet deep citrus flavor. Like she like puts on the ham. It's super funny.
Well, we got way
but
more of
that's
these
what
go,
I
so
feel
practice.
When I look at. Yeah. When I read ad copy that's like really like tantalizing about food, I can't help but hear it in that voice. It's great. So great. I know. I won't at the end of this year we'll have to tally how many times does Tracy remind Daniel to watch
Schitt's Creek. Well, we'll see if I can manage to watch it, you know? Maybe no more. Until then though, we watch something else today which we will get to or this week which we will get to. But what are we doing first? What do we got in store for tonight?
Yeah, well, we're going to stay consistent and go with our toast and a roast for this week. So, Daniel, do start with your toast and roast.
All right. My toast for this week is actually for our audience. We've been getting a lot of like really great feedback while we've been kind of starting this. So thank you to everybody who is sort of like writing in or letting us know how things are going or how you're liking or what you want out of certain segments and out of the show. It's really awesome. You're really awesome. So thank you for that. That's definitely my big toast for the week.
Yes, thank you. Somebody has been rating us on iTunes. I saw that recently.
Yeah, someone did. That's amazing.
Friends who are doing that, thank you very much. That's awesome.
Yeah, big thanks. Okay, and you know what? On a lesser note, I'm gonna go in on my roast. I have like apartment laundry rooms, you know? So you go in and everybody knows you pay a certain amount, usually in quarters, but we have an app. And the app, you know, you just load money onto it and you get a couple cycles and you're good to go. But this app has started sending me lottery notifications, and like right in the middle of when I'm trying to press pay on these like washing machines, and it's like aggressively trying to get me to enter the lotto. And I would have so many facts for you about why that's so terrible, but I don't want to search anything about the lottery on my browser because I don't want any more targeted ads on it. And it is driving me insane just trying to do laundry weekly. So that's my big roast for the week.
That's interesting that you're getting lotto ads on the laundry app. That's different.
Because
at first I was kind of like, is it a lottery for the laundry? Like spin the wheel, you're drying for free.
Yeah.
That would be productive, but this is not that. This is just for the regular California lottery.
Simply just for regular California lottery. It is infuriating.
Maybe like people aren't buying as many scratchers during COVID.
Maybe.
Is it possible that they're down?
Perhaps.
I could see that. I don't think I've ever bought a lottery ticket. I know I went with one of my friends turned 18 as we were entering university. So I remember we went out and we're like, we're going to get you pierced. We're going to get your lotto ticket, nice. Like all that stuff. We're just like, we got to get this done.
Yeah.
We've been 18 for a while. Like I'm approaching 19. We gotta wrap this up.
Right.
So That's, I remember being along for the journey, but I feel like I'm just far too cynical for a lotto ticket.
It's fair.
Just go, no, won't happen for me. I could have taken this $5 and invested it, and that's a little bit more certain.
That's, maybe we'll get a spite out on this lotto. But yeah, I bought a couple lotto tickets. Well, I had a friend who worked the lotto at the Del Mar Fair, so it was more so just to like keep him employed. But yeah.
Yeah. I would do that too.
No. Anytime I'm sure he had no trouble. But yeah. Tracy, what's your toast and roast?
My toast. Toast is that a more, let's see, close to the show toast is that we got the audio to work in my headphones. So prior to now, I could not hear the theme song, and so I'd just riff it. So that might also be why sometimes I was coming in early, sometimes late. So I really like that I can groove along to our great theme song.
Big behind-the-scenes victories this week. Oh, yeah.
Yes, we love to work out a technical glitch. It is very satisfying. My other toast is that I was a little too confident in my Japanese language skills. And on Black Friday, I ordered shirts for my brother, one for like myself, and I think one for my mom from Tower Records Japan, because I really love them and I wanted to support them. Even though they're not necessarily like a small business, they went out of business here. So I was like, well, let's just keep them going.
Okay. I like it.
So I did that. And I was so confused because I bought them like Thanksgiving weekend. And they still had yet to arrive. And I would keep checking the portal. And there would be like no update. So I finally caved.
Like daily, and three I times messaged, a day, six times a day. Like, just kidding.
I mean, yeah. Like I would be like, where is it? And I had to kind of get some other, like when I was like expecting that to be a part of someone's gift, I was like, well, we're just going to get this other one that's also nice. And like, if this does arrive, then it'll just be like a happy January present.
That was nice.
Which it did actually come by the next actual holiday. So whoever planned that over at DHL, appreciate someone who commits.
It's like a sub-toast.
But yeah. It's like, you will get it by the next holiday, miss. But yeah, there was like a lost in translation bit about me paying the international shipping fee. It really should have been a flag when I saw it be zero. And I was just like, maybe they took the shipping fee with their like cut of being the third party that goes in between these international companies. And it should have really dawned on me. That's like, Tracy, international shipping is never free from a third party. You silly, silly girl. So yeah, then I contacted customer support. They're really fast too. Someone like emailed me back in English because I think they were like, this girl be struggling. And I also wrote my email in English. So it was kind of a flag to be like, okay. Because, yeah, I totally missed it when I skimmed the email. There was, like, a little bit where I was supposed to pay for the shipping, and it would, like, ship as soon as I paid it. So they were like, yeah, follow this link, and you will get it. And, like, the moment I paid for it, I got, like, an immediate email of, like, you've been approved. It's leaving the warehouse. I was like, this is all on me. So, you know, if you take 2 to 3 years of language in college, you might start thinking like you can start buying stuff not in your native language. And I'm just reminding everyone to stay humble.
Stay humble.
You might misread something. I know. And I should know because I've had to order merch for work that goes to like various locations. It's like, Trace, you know, those FedEx fees be real high, real, real high.
What's your roast? So,
oh, yeah. I know that was my toast. I had a little bit of a roast of myself for just not reading things very well. So that's on me. My roast, quite literally, was of my microwave because I used a microwave, quote unquote, safe container. And I was like just like heating some like kale and roasted chickpeas that I made the other day. And then I could definitely smell smoke. And it exploded. Like, there's just like a piece of like plastic, like melted to my microwave plate. I was like, this can't be good. Yeah, I know. I opened all the windows and like fanned it out because I was like, man, smells like pretty not great. Don't like the casual carcinogens that are probably float around my bedroom. So we're going to fan this out. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's exploded a Tupperware in a microwave. Not the first pilgrim on that Plymouth Rock. But, you know, it also, I microwaved something else later today and I was like, it sounds fairly normal. But I also was like, let's mentally prepare that we might have to replace this appliance within the calendar year. Oh, I could see this happening. I definitely remember my childhood microwave going out the wayside for because of a potato microwave situation. So I know like something can just explode and it can be like, microwave is donezo.
Yeah, I think I took out one of my parents' microwaves as a kid for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you used to microwave everything for fun. I think this is like a child of the 90s thing of like, hey, I'm gonna put that CD in there.
Right, get the peeps going with the toothpicks and see which one jousts the other one. Yeah,
I used to microwave marshmallows. Like, I would be making s'mores, but I also like to just watch them grow really big. Oh, and then my boyfriend talks about microwaving like potato chip bags, which I'm pretty sure is really bad.
Really? They would, like, I've never heard of this.
He was like, they were like shrink-a-dinks. They would go mini. I was like, I'm pretty sure there's aluminum in there, bro. That's probably not good.
Yeah, he's doing well.
You know what? Everyone worked out fine. So apparently it definitely did not explode like this container. But I do wonder, because I buy all those like Costco like takeout containers, but then anytime I get takeout and I get those, I keep them. So it's hard to keep track. So I'm like, maybe one of these is rogue and not microwavable, but the lid is. So yeah, PSA to everyone, just like put it in a bowl. Don't risk it. I was trying to save dishes for, you know, laziness reasons, but having to wash your microwave is like more work than washing a bowl. So that's my roast of my microwave. And then also, I know I have a couple roasts. My second roast is like, yeah, if anyone in the chat is a runner, love to get your thoughts on this. Or you can also leave a voicemail on our voicemail function. Nice, subtle little push to that. But I was running, and during these times, you want to like keep your distance and not pass people up like super close. So there's like this unspoken rule of like, people walking on the sidewalk and their dogs get like the full sidewalk. And if you're running, you kind of go into this sliver of the bike lane. And it is slightly problematic because there also are cyclists of all abilities in the bike laning, meaning, you know, like children, like how we all were, who kind of go weaving around, not sticking to one side. And then we have the people in the all spandex gear who are like very, you know, diligent and stick to one area so you can predict where you're going. But yeah, I was there and I had to kind of space myself out more because someone was getting close to me. And so this cyclist had to kind of like go more towards the edge. They gave me this weird like hand gesture that was just like pointing to the ground, but it's very aggressive. Like, you like kind of like, you should stay there, talking to like the most inner part of the curb. And I was kind of like, I mean, on one hand, this is the bike lane, so fair enough. You do somewhat have, you know, right away here. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know. I'm like, I also feel like the COVID rules supersede the bike lane. So it's like, if I need to just like edge out for a sec, you can just like go with the godly flow and go a little bit more to the left. So that was more just like, I don't know. It's a like, in other countries, there's very fixed ways of when you're walking to the destination or away, you always stick to like the left or the right.
Yeah.
And here we are, land of the free, but also the chaos. So like everyone is just like, you know, oh, this person's running in this direction and they're on the left for one reason and the right for the other reason. You're just kind of like, just kind of have to make it work.
You just kind of
if
have to
you
duke
thought
it out
about
on, like,
it
Twitter.
Too much, it's a metaphor for how we are.
Yeah, next door, Craigslist afterwards, figure out who's right.
I know, right? I could, if I went on next door, they'd probably be like, ah, this like Yahoo and tie-dye. It's just like head in the clouds. running in the bike lane. And I was like, yeah, I could foresee this happening. Yeah. And then later she's like talking all night on a radio show. No.
yeah.
They follow my path.
No
community. So well. but yeah. So that was like my small roast of like, I feel like I have so many less of those run-ins without commuting, because when I commuted, it was like I could do a whole episode on things I saw on the train. But I think the worst one was when I saw someone like giving themselves a pedicure on the train, like clipping their toenails with like their foot on the table.
Oh,
I was so close
no.
to taking a picture and like shaming them and being like, tagging the coaster and
that's
be like, not okay.
Not okay.
No cuticle treatments on the coaster. And if you do, then you need to reinstate drinking so I can feel better.
I like that. Compromises. Compromises.
I know. Give me something out of this horrible situation. But yeah. And then using nail polish when there's not a ton of ventilation is also kind of rude. So yeah, there are many things.
Yeah, so they do use nail polish. Wow, that's...
Yeah.
That's a lot. That is worth a roast.
I definitely shifted cars because I was like, no, I don't want to see what happens next. It's like the plucking begins or the flossing, like all things that should just not be done. Like at least do it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know,
there's that.
I could rationalize that.
Not on the train car.
Not your seat. So that's that. That is our week. And now we're looking upon a short week this week. So that is nice.
Very excited.
But yeah.
When we get back, another Ghosts of Prime Time's Past. And we are back. So,
we are back.
Ghosts of Prime Time's Past. Last week, we decided to look at a cult-followed primetime show. It meant a lot to us. That meant a lot to the greater TV landscape. We're going to do that again with the runner-up of last week, pretty much. Tracy, this show, I was not like very privy to. I didn't even know what it was about before this week. So I'm like brand new. My opinions and my observations of it were both formed this week. But the show is a bit different for you and maybe somewhat different for anyone else here tonight. Please, introduce us to Veronica Mars.
Yeah, Veronica Mars. I started watching this show when it was airing. It's on the WB or UPN. Yeah.
I think it started at UPN.
First. Yeah. It was during that era, though, of like the OC, because they actually both have the same theme song for a little bit.
Do they really?
Yeah. And I got into a heated debate about this before, but I think the OC had it first. It's like the We Used to Be Friends by the Dandy Warhols.
Yeah.
So, but they fit both of the shows really well. So it's fair enough. But yeah, I started watching this. I feel like if you were someone in middle school or high school that was very like sarcastic and somewhat outcasty, but at the same time still sometimes like fed into mainstream circles, you could connect a lot with this show because it's a like detective drama. A lot of what you'll read about this is that it's supposed to be like a modern like film noir type take on the genre, and at the same time supposed to be a high concept high school show. So you'll see both of those things kind of run into each other when you watch this show. It's created by Rob Thomas, which you might be familiar with Party Down, or I think he did iZombie as well. That's on the CW. It aired September 22nd, 2004 on UPN until May 22nd, 2007 on the CW. And then it was revived on July 19th, 2019 on Hulu for its fourth season. And they also had a movie in between that was crowdfunded. So that was a think between that movie and the Zach Braff movie, those were like the big ones that were like crowdfunding this movie during this era. And it both was like very popular amongst a certain crowd because it had that Comic-Con following, but it was unpopular enough that when the movie came out, I went by myself because I did not know anyone else who wanted to go. I just remember being in Irvine and going to like a A and E. Is that the? No.
AMC?
What is the? AMC. Yeah, I was like, I really blanked. Haven't been to a theater in so long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I went to one of those like during a daytime showing by myself, which was actually really nice. I used to do that a lot when reviewed movies for newspapers. It was nice to just kind of like, especially if you wanted to pay a lot of attention. You're like, I'm not bringing friends, bring my own snacks. I'm sitting here. So yeah, it's a very funny show. It still has a lot of dark, heavy material, but they are able to kind of deliver it to you in a lighter way. I mean, over time, you'll look at certain seasons and be like, wow, there were a lot of like murders or kidnappings and other things that happen, but you don't feel the same way you feel like. I don't feel like I have to take a break when I watch this show. And when I watch other shows that are very like heavy dramas, I'll like watch a few episodes and then be like, I gotta watch some comedy now.
Is that something
too much?
Is that something tonally that just becomes like an inherent necessity when working with like teen dramas, though? Because watching this, it was insane. They do every major dark storyline in the book and then some.
Yeah.
And like if it's like something awful that can happen at a school, it happens in this show. But it is interesting. It's like there are the whole high concept, high stakes, high school environment doesn't seem necessarily exclusive to this show, but it's interesting. It's interesting how that can be digestible in a way, you know, or just like in its TV format. But yeah, Veronica Mars does do that very, very well.
Yeah, there's not too many. I mean, there are some, like, I think, you know, we'll get into shows to compare it to after we go through the episodes, but there are definitely some like crime fighting teen shows that share the same thing of being like campy and referential, because like they do a lot of like references to different films and movies that you're also kind of like a specific audience will get all of these. And even as a lover of the show, I think the more I watch it, I'll be like, I caught this, in the same way that not as on the nose as other shows like 30 Rock, where it's like you're getting hit with so many like wonderful one-liners that it's only natural you won't catch all of them the first go around. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of, these are a little bit more like they do a lot of like little like Easter eggs, and I think we can see that with a lot of the cast in this show. Is one of, I'd say, the most notable to have people who have really small parts or guest appearances that are now like extremely big actors now.
Yeah,
so that is a fun part about watching it now and seeing how, you know, people had a one episode kind of star and then now they are like in a Marvel movie. And you're kind of like, that's very cool. The episodes we're covering to get like a good feeling about this whole show are the pilot, because you kind of have to understand all the different things that are going on up in there. It definitely starts similar to Twin Peaks, but I think the one thing this pilot does that is they don't have as much time. So, but it is introducing like, this girl was murdered. Here's the context of how she was like within the main characters and the town, as well as other kind of hardships that happened in like domino effect from that. And then we're also going to watch another episode from the first season that I think is very fun. It definitely shows off the comedic aspects of the show and kind of the small stakes cases, because there's like these overarching themes of like who did it for like murders and crimes. But then they also have like that each episode there's a small stakes crime that she's solving with the friends. And then the second season episode I picked was the final episode. So it really wraps up the Who Did It from season one without having to watch every episode of season one, as well as the, you know, villain mastermind for the second season. So you kind of get an idea of everything that happened within that point. And then the one we picked that was a bit more controversial is the series-ish finale, because there's a lot of murmurs that there could potentially be more, either episodes or movies. But the season four finale, because it's more to just show, I think it's cool to see where she ended in the second season and how it ended in the fourth season to be like this new beginning. But they're also in a way kind of similar. But it is it's a gut-wrenching episode. So we will do now a spoiler alert. If you have not watched the show, we are going to talk about many plot lines that have happened. And so if you want to not be spoiled.
That's it. That was prime time party time for this week.
Right. I was like, then tune out. No, I feel like most people, if you're hooked by this episode, you've probably either watched or have heard murmurs of Veronica Mars. So to the pilot episode.
Yeah.
How did you feel about this as a first time viewer, Daniel?
Yeah. Okay. So as a first time viewer, I mean, the episodes that you curated as a whole, I could tell were very much like the main beats of the main story, plus the episode in season one. The pilot episode, it is kind of like, so in the pilot episode, it establishes a lot of like the murder mystery of Veronica Mars's best friend, Lily Kane, and really like the other major characters at the high school, and Veronica's fall from grace as a popular girl into more of an outcast, who also on the side helps out with her father's like private investigator business, because he is this shamed sheriff from the same murder case that the season's about Veronica's best friend. It's all this interconnected crazy town that's like slightly a spinoff of Oceanside, California. So I'm here for the San Diego stuff. But and then as well, it sets up some other supporting characters, namely her friends Wallace and Weevil, and basically like goes through, sets up the main plot of the series, and then also sort of does a one-off about the one-off, from my understanding, was defeating the first villain of the season, which is a very long-time cast member who I feel like we're going to talk a lot about this episode, Logan.
Yes.
And it's basically the entire like cast of Veronica and Weevil and Wallace all kind of teaming up for the first time to take down this major character. So that was the pilot, and I enjoyed it. It was a very good TV pilot. Fun fact.
Yeah, it's... Oh, yeah.
This pilot aired on the same date that the pilot for Lost did, September 22nd, 2004.
That is a good day for popular really good day for television. And quality mystery shows.
Oh, yeah.
Man, but that is good context, because there are like a lot of money shows that I feel like started around this time. So
yeah, it was...
It's kind of...
A big prime time's broken open. TV's broken open. We can do serialized stuff. The show's very serialized for being somewhat procedural. You know, budgets got bigger. Talent started being like, you know what? Yeah, I'm down for TV. It was just a bunch of network money. So it was a great era. This is definitely false.
Yeah,
money TV is
a very succinct pilot. It really sets up everything you need to know as you move into this show. And I think you can hop between episodes to a point, but it's also difficult, because you would then, if you do that, you miss the building blocks to getting to who the killer is, but also all these other subplots that are constantly floating around, but they all eventually contribute to the larger plot, because there's all these twists and turns, and I think it is the Oceanside spinoff aspect is fun because it's the huge thing that they set up in the pilot is there are the haves and the have-nots, and it's like the wealthy community versus kind of the working class community, and then they have the like kind of spoiled kids, and then they have the kids that are like, you know, have part-time jobs, and also the kids that are in this like biker gang, and how they all kind of like, you are sympathetic to all of them in a way because they will show you as the show goes on like some really kind of dark underbelly of each area. So you do see like, you know, the rich kid that has like the abusive dad, but then you also see like the kid in the gang that's like taking care of his whole family, and then you have like Veronica, who's kind of like in the middle where she can float between these worlds, and it's something that a lot of the characters will comment on a lot, like, well, you can just, you know, snap and be right back in with the in crowd when you want to be, kind of thing. But she also has been scorned by them.
Yeah, one of my favorite dynamics
for what they are
of the show is how detrimental to her power as a character it is that she is sort of not within a tribe, and then how also it's a strength of hers to be able to kind of float around and come in and out of whatever scene she needs to.
Yeah, she has a lot of friends in high and low places, and they help her solve her crimes. She always kind of has a person to go to get her information. So she's very persuasive and charming, despite kind of being also the brooding type. So it's not this complete, like, I don't know, outcast character in a way, because at the same time, she's able to navigate all these different people and know how to kind of get the most out of each social situation when she needs to solve a case. So yeah, and then the episode that I picked from the first season that is kind of shows the lightheartedness and the more high school fun episode is this one called Like a Virgin. It's season 1, episode 8. And it's also interesting too, because of the time period, it's kind of as social media is coming to a rise. So, and in that kind of MySpace truth is type era, this girl who ends up being a character moving forward, who's kind of she's like the computer science whiz kid, and she makes this test that's has all these questions that's supposed to like tell people kind of like how much of a badass they are or a goody two shoes. And there's definitely, you know, they have some gender roles play into that, where it's like with the girls it means like, you know, they're kind of bad and looked down upon, and with the guys it's kind of like a you're a stud. So they definitely play into that. The show is very good about showing kind of gender gaps in different ways and being kind of creative about how they display that. But they're also showing how this girl made this app to kind of milk a lot of these people who are very gossipy and wanting to throw each other under the bus and profit off of it, because she made this option where they could buy each other's test results for like $10. And so it's a fun episode too, because you get to see a lot of the crowd that rejected her, the ones that are actually very likable, and the ones that are, you can see why she would not want to re-enter that world. And on the flip side too, you're getting to see the next kind of partner in her squad emerge to the table. And yeah, many people who like to compare this show with Buffy would say that the character Mac is like the Willow type.
Oh, that's the episode that Mac comes... Okay. Yeah. I noticed that she was pretty major in season 2. So that's like when she really actually joins the... Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, she kind of like dips in and out of episodes in the first season to, you know, oh, I can hack into that system. Oh, I can get you on this like server.
Right. She's very savvy. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's supposed to kind of be that, like, you know, the Q in James Bond, the person who does all the behind the scenes tech info. And yeah, so that's what happens in this episode. You get to see the full high school dynamics take place. It's very, very high school, because it's all about rumors and reputation, and like, you know, the girls that seem good get like their results fraudulently changed. And, you know, then there's like, oh, now they're they're real on the bad side of the tracks. Ooh. But then, you know, when she kind of makes the rights and the wrongs. But I think a big part about this episode is they talk about, she says, like, you got to get tough and you got to get even. And then the girl in the end was like, getting tough was good advice, but I don't think you always have to get even, which is something you'll see as the show progresses. Because in the beginning, she's very much a, you take me down, I take you down worse, which is something I can relate to. But as she kind of becomes more mature, I think she knows when to kind of be like, I could just share all this information, but maybe I let this one go because it's something that one of my, you know, friends would be hurt by, or it's going to be, you know, cause more damage than it's worth, even though it's this person pretty much deserves it. So I think a tie from last week's episode to this week's, besides some fun, you know, guest stars, is that there's like that morality. It plays a key role in this show as well. It's like the do-goods and the nots, and who deserves justice and who kind of gets second chances. Speaking of, the second season episode we watched is the finale, and it tells you who the murderer from the first season is, who gets away with it.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, he doesn't get away with it fully, but in terms of the legal system, he did.
The murderer ends up being, from what I could understand, Logan's father killed Veronica's best friend.
Yes.
Who, because she was having a relationship with Logan's father, and Logan's father's like this A-list actor.
Yeah. And so part she of the was rich dating community. Logan.
Okay,
like,
so
that was
Lily
her boyfriend.
Was dating Logan?
Yeah, so she was dating Logan.
So how does Teddy, how does Teddy fit in to the show?
So
there's a Teddy, right?
The dad's name is Aaron.
Dad's name is Aaron.
Yeah. So she ends up kind of having a fling with the dad over time.
Okay.
And that pretty much happened, I think, just because she was at the house all the time. She did also have a fling with Weevil as well. So she was not the most, like, committed girlfriend. But he kind of knew that, so that wasn't a big surprise. The only surprise was that, like, his dad was in the picture, because that's just all kinds of wrong. But the reason she got murdered was because there were these tapes, because he was, like, pervy and recorded, you know, himself hooking up with people in this room. And eventually she looked up and saw, like, the little camera lens, and she took the cassette tapes and was gonna send them to, like, the Hollywood, kind of their version of, like, TMZ. And she was kind of, like, joking about it. Like, I think she more just thought, like, oh, I'll kind of blackmail him with this, it'll be fun. Like, they show this character who's played by Amanda Seyfried, which is fun, as, like, a very kind of, like, push the envelope, poke the bear type of character. So she's kind of like, you know, oh yeah, I'm totally gonna send this to the tabloids, suck it, kind of thing. And in the flashbacks she tells them, like, oh, I got a big secret, a good one, and this is what it is. And then it ends up being that, you know, when she's joking around about sending videos and being like, oh yeah, I'm totally, you can watch it, you know, on air with everyone else, he, like, smashes her head with an ashtray. So the problem is, though, is that during season two, which is an episode that was, I don't think they disclosed this in the episode I had you watch, Logan is able to get the tapes, and he destroys them, mostly because he was like, I don't want to have, you know, videos of my dead ex-girlfriend and my dad hooking up going on all places of the internet.
Right.
And even though that was, like, the thing that if they had it, his dad would have been convicted.
Okay.
So,
and when he's getting the tapes, he's doing so with Veronica, and then they start dating because they're getting close to the killer of Lily.
Yeah, that happens. He has Veronica
Logan's
look into a
right?
few.
That's his redemption.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because he starts out very mean to her in a lot of it, you know.
Yes, he's very mean in the pilot. He is a straight up villain in the pilot.
Oh yeah, when you step back, you realize, like, all these people are grieving. And so they're not,
that makes sense.
You know, like, so they're going after each other because it's easier than processing,
right,
you know, a unsolved murder that, you know, they have this like random person come into the picture that is the cover-up murderer. And it's, you know, so, and then because of her dad being the sheriff and not siding and thinking like, oh, I think this was done in the family, because of that, all of the friends turn against her because they're like, you're not supporting right. us and kind of like our team. So, yeah. And eventually, Logan needs help getting out of some snags. And, you know, has her looking into different parts with his family because they're all kind of sketchy in different ways. So then they get close and that's how they end up being a couple for a bit. And then she dates Duncan and then she goes back to dating Logan. And then there's some other people in the mix. But those are the large love interests. Yeah. So, yeah, the end of the second season is a lot because the main plot points are this like bus crash and there's like a bomb on the bus, and it also there's like this whole other plot line of the reason it was happening was because this there was like a baseball coach who was molesting the children and they wanted to come forward and the other kid did not want that to be public knowledge, so he ends up, and he's always kind of the kid that's getting picked on, and he ends up becoming this like serial killer slash terrorist.
Gotta love those teen dramas.
And I know that's like the second season is way heavier, even though the first one is like a murder, you right. kind of you're like, okay, affairs were happening, that kind of has happened on a lot of shows, but like the little teen terrorist I think is one where you're like, like this does happen but it's not often and it's very horrible. So that's how that one's comes up. How did you feel about it? It's still a, like, I wouldn't say it's difficult to watch because it's really good, but it is a gutting episode for sure.
Yeah. I appreciate that you had me watch. I thought it was crafty how you had me watch the resolution of the first season's mystery in at the end of the second season, and how that was kind of running parallel to the second season ending as well. This the a totally different mystery. Something that was interesting is Aaron, as far as I could tell, wasn't either a major character or a character at all in the pilot episode. So Logan's family, Duncan's family was very much like the Canes, right? The Canes were very much a factor in the pilot episode. But Logan's family was not. So I wasn't able to kind of like see the seeds of the mystery from the pilot episode. But it was good courtroom drama, actually. The courtroom stuff was sufficiently dramatic and frustrating. And, it was also interesting seeing like the, because at that point they are high school seniors and they're pretty much like one step out of high school. So that was interesting to see too, kind of like see the end of high school, see them kind of like going their ways, and seeing something interesting with Veronica's character is that she seemed to want to get out of Neptune, this Oceanside-like city. She wanted to go to Harvard. She wanted to forget about everybody from high school. She had these bigger dreams, but as we kind of see with the movie and the season four finale that you also curated, that doesn't quite happen yet. So let's, I guess, get into the finale of the show, which happened several years after the show. So basically they crowdfunded the movie. Who picked up a fourth season? They put 8 episodes out, all on some day in July in 2019, I want to say. Yeah, July 19th, 2019. And the main plot is separate of the first 2 to 3 seasons, but it still continues to star Veronica Mars, her father, who they work the cases together, and Logan seem to be the three core characters. They're just in their 30s now. So what is this finale as a viewer? What happens and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the first time I watched the final episode of the fourth season, I definitely cried.
And when did you start watching the series? Like, after it went off air, somewhere in season two?
I watched it on the air.
You watched it on the air. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a long-time fan.
I followed it from channel to channel to channel.
Right.
Of which there were a few.
And so,
So the loyal followers, so...
So the finale deals with kind of the end of the series, which is, it's interesting because they tie up the mystery of the season, which is unrelated to the bigger show. It's like a Patton Oswalt bomb threat, which is fun because obviously he's charming in a way where you wouldn't expect him to be this big bad of a season. So the whole point of the finale is that he actually is the big bad of the season. He's the mastermind, despite all the doubt that the show's given you up to that point, is what I could understand. That's fun.
Yeah. But have all of this like group called the Murderheads, I think is what they're called.
Yes,
and it's a little bit slightly meta because it's supposed to be like, oh, these people who are obsessed with like solving crimes and murders start to give all these tips because they've, you know, been listening to all these different like podcasts and movies, and we all know people who are like the watch Law and Order every night type people, so they're kind of playing into that. And also it's a little bit of a haha because if you watch this show, you're also probably falling slightly into that category. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like audience participation in a way, but in a nudge, and also, you know, really great comedians playing that role. But yeah, she's trying to crack all these riddles that this guy has given her for the last crime. And then you see the last one is that there's a final bomb left in her car and it kills Logan. And I think the first time you see that, you are just like, I have watched this show for so long to wait for them to get to this point of like, they're finally on the same page. They've all like done their therapy, worked through all of their various traumatic,
literally there are therapy,
you know, events in their life. Like you look back and go like, this is a lot for all of you to deal with from 17 to 30. Like you doing okay?
Yeah, everybody in this town dies. This high school, like is there like a wall memorial outside this place? It is insane.
It is a lot. There are a lot of
2% graduation rate.
A lot of people to mourn. A lot of people in jail. There's the people who are getting out, or the people putting everyone else in jail. So yeah, it's crazy.
It's a wild town. And wild stories.
Yeah, very wild. You would see why they would want to perhaps leave this area and not come back. Because similar to getting into like comparing it with the Angel and Buffyverse, like it's very much like, the Cordelia character wanting to leave the Hellmouth only to go to LA, where she also deals with way more supernatural stuff. And the fun facts is that Charisma Carpenter and Allison Hannigan play some small but also important characters on this show. In the I think Allison Hannigan's character is in the second season more so, and then Charisma's is in this second, they're both in the second season.
Yeah, I saw
actually
her
so that's kind of
previously
fun.
On segments.
Yeah Okay. And then I also saw that there's like a short Joss Whedon cameo, so there is a tie there. And a lot of people compare it being like the main difference between Buffy and the show is that this one is not supernatural, but otherwise they're both very set up similarly to be like the crime fighting high school team. It's just that these crimes are all things that actually happen. They're like very normal. It's not normal how often they happen, because you're like, this is a lot of crimes that they have every day. I mean, there are lighter ones, like the person who's stealing people's dogs and selling them for money, which in a way though, you're like, oh, it's still a dark episode, because they're like, if you don't pay the money, they were like putting down the dogs.
It's very
this
dark.
Person is evil. Very evil. But they have episodes like that, or episodes like the Purity Test that are all about like superficial high school drama. You know, they have one too where there's like a girl where like a guy wants to post a girl of like doing like a silly thing, like video wise, that, you know, just she doesn't want it to get out. And so she's kind of tracking down who has the video. So like there are ones that are more on that side of the more like high school reputation. So, and then there are the ones that are violence.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of violence.
So how does the show basically, I guess as wrapping up, like getting to Logan's death, how does the show make the transition from high school drama, like high concept, really high stakes high school drama, to high stakes like adult detective drama that continues the stakes but doesn't have the high school flair? I only saw the finale. And it wasn't really like at that point it seemed as if the characters have kept their core relationships overall. Like Veronica never really got out of Neptune. Logan definitely grew up, calmed down. And the father became happy in his situation as a private investigator. But how does that show otherwise, how was that transition and what led up to basically like Logan's untimely demise on their wedding day?
Yes.
On the series finale up to this point.
I know. It's so much drama packed into
it. It's a lot of drama.
Lot
of drama, but like, yeah.
The movie does bridge that gap a lot. So it's about her. She has like a lawyer job. She has a job as a lawyer. I think it's supposed to be in like New York City. It's like a very
So she does get
elite like law firm job for a bit, and then she goes back for the high school reunion and gets sucked into Logan needs her help getting out of a jam. But then I haven't watched the movie in a bit, but I know like towards the end, like he joins the Navy and that's supposed to be him kind of getting his stuff together and getting on the right path. And then once the series begins, it's a lot more the way they, I think, bridge the high school to adult life is making it a lot more about the inequality in this fictional Neptune city. And it's about, you know, spring break, the city relies on tourism dollars, which we can definitely relate to as native San Diegans. But it's also this, like, who are we serving? Are we serving the college kids or the luxury travelers? And which businesses are going to survive and which one of them are going to go? And that ultimately is what's fueling the crimes that are happening around town, is people who want to see either the gentrification happen quicker or not at all. And I think that was always something they were kind of like winking at in the original series of like, which side is going to win. In high school, it was like the 09ers, which was like their zip code. And then the people who were not in that zip code and like which one will become the majority overall. And I think that's what kind of took over the high school aspect in the final series.
Okay.
Unless we get more. Yeah. So it's a lot more about Neptune being a character as well. But they also end the series with her not having to be there anymore, because you see her driving off into the distance. She could easily become a freelance detective and have all these different crimes, because she really is no longer tied to Neptune.
No. Now yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
Logan passed away, and they kind of show her dad being all right.
Yeah.
They have an episode sprinkled in there where her and Leo have fun. So you kind of like hope for her to be like, maybe you'll eventually, when enough time has passed.
Is Leo Max Greenwald's character of New Girl fame?
Yes.
That's hilarious. I saw him briefly in season two.
I know. There are so many
careers of
people,
a lot of these actors
who do small characters on this show that are great. Like Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is a character.
Oh, nice.
Who is his name from Arrested Development? I am so blanking, but also Scott Pilgrim.
Michael Cera?
Yeah, Michael Cera is on a couple episodes. Tessa Thompson, who's in Thor. And then she was also in this new movie that it's called like Sylvie's Love. If you saw her face, you would know her. She's like the love interest of Wallace in the second season. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of some other. Oh, Adam Scott plays a teacher.
That's hilarious.
In an episode. I know. He ends up being a teacher who gets a student pregnant. So
that's That is...
He has a darker character. High school drama. And then
nice.
There are so many people who have like little roles. Even I found like Armie Hammer had like a guest. He plays like a really small character in one of the crimes. And there are a lot of people who are in really big movies now that have just like a one-off or maybe a few appearances.
I think it makes sense, right?
On the show.
They're fun parts to play. There's a lot of just drama in these episodes. And this seems like a perfect... I guess my closing thoughts are like, this seems like this like perfect storm for just like a lot of television drama and like a high concept teen setting. And so there's a lot of fun to be had just with writing week to week scenarios. You do get the satisfaction of a season long mystery. There's a lot of great bit parts. I mean, I never really, obviously, like I said, I never understood what this show was even about before this week. Would have never guessed it was like a high school detective show. I don't know. What do you want to leave us about this show? Like, what are your overall like thoughts of this Ghost of Primetime's Past?
My overall thoughts is this is one of my favorite, and it still is one of my favorite shows to go back to because you do get a little bit of everything. You get the comedy, you get the really intense plot lines, you also get this kind of modern meets nostalgia because it does go back to the writers really into the like film noir detective show, but then it's also doing the high concept high school bits. So you just get this really nice balance of light and dark in almost every episode. I think that's what makes it really unique to me. I love a lot of these crime shows, and they do list like Twin Peaks as an influence, and you do see that except for that it does have this kind of more pop aspect to it. I think it's also fun being someone who followed Kristen Bell as Veronica Mars and knowing her only as that, and then seeing her now and being like, wow, you are like a major star. And she sings a little bit on this show, but not nearly as much.
Is there a musical episode?
Not a full musical episode, which really does seem like an opportunity missed. Like, if there was a wish list of something they did, that would have been great. There's just like times where she does like karaoke or something where you're like, this girl can sing. Like, this is a very short period, but she's quite good. And then later you're like, oh, yeah, never mind. I am the fool. You are a Broadway trained singer.
Right.
But yeah, you get a little bit of everything with this show.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
That's the best I can say about Veronica Mars is you'll catch something new, you'll find another way to relate to the episodes, and I think it is also fun seeing the little pops of budding actors in the early 2000s become really big things now, and whoever did casting was just like crushing it. Because like it's kind of like every extra is like, I know that person. So it's pretty cool from just like an outside point of view. But also the writing is really, really good. It's each plot is great. I think I love the first two seasons. I like the third season, but I think every show that transferred to the CW like kind of had to relearn its ropes a little bit, even though it's still a good adaptation and they are able to continue to college without jumping the shark. So it's good. But I think the first two are really the ones that I feel like a very special place in my heart belongs to those two. So we'll see what happens next if we do get more Veronica Mars in the future, because they always end the show and then there's been something next. So I think that's why they also have a lot of loyal followers, because they're like, what's next? We got a movie, then we got a fourth season, like what do we have to look forward to in the future? So we'll see. But yeah, that's why I would vote to have Veronica Mars on your personal primetime.
Lives ruined. and bloodshed, as they say. That's it.
With glitter.
That's it for Veronica Mars on Primetime Party Time, and that's it for this week's Primetime Party Time. Thank you for joining us. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find us, hit us up at ptptshow.com, and we'll get there. And hit us up if you just want to chat. We'll be here too. This show couldn't have been made without the following amazing people. Our artwork is by Fen. Find her at Fen Latte on Instagram. Our theme song playing in the background is Jay Wright. Find him on jwrightmusic.com. Look out for an appearance on the show. Our website done by our good friend Coco. We're your hosts,
Tracy
and Daniel. And listen live next Monday at 9 p.m. here on ptptshow.com for another Prime Time Party Time. We will be getting, hopefully next week, we're promising some performance. So we're going to get performative.
Yeah.
Stop listening to that theme song just like during the week so it wouldn't like, you know, get oversaturated for me.
It is such a good song. I was just thinking to myself, like, I would run to this song. Yeah. So good.